You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
630 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chad.
Down now and about 8. Cornelius takes the drop, flush to the right side. He's going to take off. Can he get to the end zone? Cornelius inside the 5, dives. Do they give him the touchdown? Yes, touchdown. Antler up. Edmonton, touchdown Elks. Taylor Cornelius takes it himself as he got an open lane to the end zone, and he dives in for his first touchdown on the ground in the CFL.
Well, and that would help the Elks do it last night in Toronto. Taylor Cornelius running it in as the Elks snap an extended 8-game losing streak, beating the Argos 13-7 to get their third victory of the season. They will wrap up the year Friday in Vancouver against the BC Lions. It's on 630 Ched, so we'll do Inside Sports from an hour for an hour from 6 to 7, then 7 o'clock countdown to kickoff game at 8:30 against the Lions. And I'm pleased to welcome the Elks play-by-play voice, Morley Scott, to the show, who probably knows what city he's in, hopefully. Morley?
Vancouver, British Columbia. I have it written down in front of me, so yeah.
Last stop.
I did. Yeah, we got 3 more nights, and then we're heading home on Saturday. So looking forward to that. It's been interesting. I mean, today was the toughest day because that's a 5-hour flight from Toronto to Vancouver. So that's a long time. It was an early get up for us. Not that I'm complaining. You know, well, I am, but not that anyone should take me seriously. But you know, we had an early get up and then a long flight. Did some work here this afternoon, and I think I'm going to turn in early tonight. I got up at 5 this morning in Toronto, so that's 2 a.m. Vancouver time. So I'm getting near the end of. I'm getting near the end of my day here, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, and you, I mean, well, in broadcasting, you often work unusual hours, and especially people like you who are on the morning show, but then in football, you cover games that are often played at night. So thanks for making time for me to hop on the show.
No sweat. Happy to be here. Yeah, the game, you know, we didn't get back to the hotel room until about almost midnight last night and then up at 5. But, you know, whatever. I love my job. It's fun. So it's not an issue. We'll be well rested for Friday night.
Yeah, I'm enjoying, I don't know if I've seen all of them, but I'm enjoying your postcards from the road showing up on 630 Ched's social media as you have this tour. I know you like doing that. You always post your game day walk when you're on the road and go to get a coffee, but you've put out some, like, any interesting sights you've seen or anything in these cities that you have been to before that you've experienced that's new?
I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. Nothing really jumps out at me that much. It's funny. We've had different weather because we had it was kind of cold and snowy in Regina, and then it was rainy the first couple of days in Toronto, but turned nice for the game last night. And here they got all sorts of weather issues here. It's not raining here today, but it's pretty nice. But they've got all sorts of flooding issues all over the province here in British Columbia. But nothing off the top of my head, and I will admit I'm a little foggy right now. But nothing off the top of my head really jumps out. as being real different from the last few trips. I'm a creature of habit, so I do a lot of the same things, go to a lot of the same restaurants and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Okay. So last night, look, we expected it might be kind of an odd game. Edmonton's not making the playoffs. Toronto has clinched first in the East. Dave went over all the lineup changes on the show on Monday night, kind of previewing the game. And I was primarily, it was interesting last night, I had the Oilers on our kind of main TV in the hockey studio, the soccer game on another big screen, and I had the Elks on my laptop. So probably I saw the least of that game. I do know on a couple occasions I saw the Elks inside the 10-yard line, and then I looked over and saw Toronto celebrating, or they had the ball after getting a touchback. Were there some points left on the table last night?
Yeah, for sure. There was two interceptions in the end zone, three interceptions in all in the game last night, two of them in the end zone. So that continues to be kind of something that Taylor Cornelius is struggling with. He's now got 10 interceptions on the season, one more interception than he has a touchdown pass. So that's something that it's got to be concerning to everybody, but it's something that he's going to have to try and get a hold of. There's been lots of really good quarterbacks in this league, Reed, who start out by throwing a lot of picks in their career and then kind of get it under control as they figure out the game a little bit more. And you got to learn when to throw it away, and you got to learn when to check down to the right guys, and you got to learn when to eat it and just take the sack. That's part of the learning experience, and Cornelius is getting that this year, and hopefully that's going to make him a better quarterback in the future. But yeah, it turned around. There was a lot of change of possession last night. I mean, the first possession of both teams, they threw interceptions, right? So the offenses and the defense were swapping on and off like crazy early on in the game. So it was an interesting game, and you know, who says we didn't have any preseason games this year, right? But there was no preseason schedule, but last night was pretty much like a preseason game for the most part, especially from Toronto's side of things. But hey, the Elks did what they had to do, right? They came out, they played well, they got the win, they beat a team they should beat with the personnel that the Argos put on the field. The Elks should beat that team, and they did. And I mean, if you take away those touchdowns, or if you get some points off those touchdowns, it's a lot more than just a 13-7 game, and the Elks, you know, kind of could have been in control of it all the way instead of having to have it a nail biter a little bit into the tail end of the fourth quarter.
What's going on with Nick Arbuckle? I get a lot of questions from fans of the Elks. Like, they traded for him. If they want him to be a quarterback next year, how come they're not taking a look at him? Is might he play against the Lions, or what's going on with Arbuckle?
I don't think so. I don't think he'll dress. I think it'll be Taylor Cornelius and Dakota Prukop again. I just think it's just a weird situation with the team. And I know I've seen comparisons, people, you know, with Cam Newton stepping right in and playing with Carolina. And, of course, Trevor Harris is now starting games for Montreal, but those teams are in a different situation. Their starters were hurt. They needed somebody. They had to find someone to step in and play, so they went out and got guys. For Arbuckle, it's a little bit of a different situation because he came in and it was it's Cornelius' team. He'd been rolling with the team as the starter, and it should take a couple of weeks for a quarterback to learn the offense. And don't forget, Arbuckle doesn't have the experience either that, let's say, a Cam Newton or a Trevor Harris would have of the game, right? He's pretty new to the game as well. He hasn't started a lot of games. He got, what, seven starts in Calgary in 2019 and a couple or three this year with the Argos, maybe a couple more than that. So he's not really experienced. But so he's been learning the offense. He's been studying the playbook, but he hasn't had a chance to practice with the team. And then when they hit on this road trip for these three games, they don't practice, right? There's no time to practice on this road trip. There's no need to practice. So he hasn't been able to get the opportunity to work with the first team reps. And I know we were talking with Jamie Elizondo about it, and he told us that he had a conversation with Nick Arbuckle, and he was kind of, you know, they were talking about the situation, and Arbuckle goes, he wants to play, he understands, you know, I want to play, but I understand why I'm not, because as Jamie told us, it wouldn't be fair to everybody else on the team, because I haven't worked with those receivers, they don't know my cadence, I don't know their habits, and it wouldn't be putting him or the team in the best situation to succeed. So I think they made the trade, they've signed him for next year, and they're going to let him start fresh out of the blocks next year at training camp to try and become the number one quarterback. So it looks like it's going to be a pretty good battle at training camp next year between Arbuckle and Cornelius for that number one job.
So is this going to be another kind of strange one on Friday, because the Lions have been eliminated? They haven't had a very good year. Seems like whenever I watch the Lions, Riley's running for his life, and they're behind. He's trying to catch up.
He's been running for his life since he left Edmonton, hasn't he? Basically, with the BC Lions. I mean, that's the kind of couple of years he's had there. I think it'll be a good game tomorrow, Friday night. I think it'll be much different from last night's game in Toronto, because these are two teams who have been eliminated. They're over that. They know it's their last game of the season. They want to go out on a good note. The coaches aren't saving anybody for the playoffs, so everybody's going to play. All the best players are going to play. Coaches are going to put the players in to give the team the best opportunity to win, with one exception in BC, and that's at quarterback, where Rourke's going to start in place of Riley. So that's the only real change that the Lions are going to make. So I think it's going to be a much better game than last night. I think I'm kind of looking forward to it, because I think it's going to be it might end up being one of those shootout games with a lot of yards and a lot of numbers put up. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think the attitude, Reed, is pretty clear for both these teams. They're going in, and there's going to be guys we're going to be playing this. These two teams are going to be playing together for the last time. So they're going to want to go out and enjoy it and be successful and have something positive to wrap up their season. There's guys who know it and there's guys who don't know it, but they're going to be playing their final CFL game on Friday night, right? Some are going to retire. Some are going to be retired. And so there's, you know, it's got an interesting twist to it with both teams being eliminated from the playoffs. Nothing to hold back for. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good game.
All right. Well, Morley, we appreciate you checking in. Hope you get some rest and look forward to hearing your call on Friday night, buddy.
Thanks, Reed. Always a pleasure. Talk to you later.
That is Morley Scott checking in from the road. Elks now into Vancouver, closing out this unprecedented road trip. 3 games in 7 days, 1-1 so far. We got to quickly update what's going on with the U of A hockey team. I don't know if it's a revenge weekend, but it didn't go well the last time they played their opponent this weekend. We'll talk to Captain Clayton Kirichenko when we get back. Okay, I want to take you back a little bit here. You probably remember us talking about this on 630 Chet. It was February of 2020. It was before the pandemic hit, so we were playing sports as normal. And the U of A Golden Bears were heavily favored in a Canada West men's hockey semifinal against the UBC Thunderbirds. But in game one, UBC won 3-2 in overtime, and Thunderbirds goalie Ryland Toth made 51 saves. The Bears got to him in the second game and won 6-1, but then the third deciding game, Toth was at it again and made 40 saves, and the Bears were shockingly eliminated in the Canada West semifinal. Well, how about a rematch this weekend, 7 o'clock Friday and Saturday at Claire Drake, and the T-Birds come in 6-0 in Canada West play, while the Golden Bears are 4-2. So to discuss this story, it's Golden Bears captain Clayton Kirichenko. Clayton, you're on with Reed. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's awesome to have you on the show. Look, I'll apologize in advance for taking you back to February of 2020, but obviously it was a significant story at the time, and I think it plays into this weekend. I mean, what do you remember about that series? From all accounts, you guys dominated, and Toth was just incredible for UBC.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously a tough pill to swallow. I'm proud of how we played still. I thought we gave ourselves a good chance to win. And like you said, we unfortunately just ran into a hot goalie. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely still salt in the wounds from that.
Is he still their goalie?
I have no idea, to be honest
okay,
with
well,
you.
I'd have to look that up. I believe that he is. I just looked. I looked it up. I thought I would ask just to see. So you're not even worried about it then. You're just like, whatever goalie's in there, we got to beat.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the focus we always take, is just trying to focus on ourselves and what we can do to prepare for it. So that's kind of our mindset.
What did you do last year? I think there were some team activities allowed, but obviously you didn't get to play any Canada West games. How did you make it through last season physically and mentally?
A lot of home workouts, and then we were fortunate enough to practice for a bit on and off. It kept kind of getting shut down here and there, so it was pretty sporadic, but we were lucky enough to still get ice here and there, so mostly just practices.
All right. How do you feel the team is playing so far this season, 4-2 out of the gate?
Yeah, I mean, I think we started off a little slow, but I think there's a learning curve that's expected with a younger team, and I think we've made great strides in the last couple of games here, and we're definitely trending in the right direction.
All right, Clayton, as for you, Golden Bears hockey captain Clayton Kirichenko joining us tonight on Inside Sports. They're playing UBC at 7 o'clock Friday and Saturday. You grew up in Sherwood Park?
Correct, yeah.
All right, what was your minor hockey path to eventually going on to play major junior?
So I played Pee-wee, Bantam, and Midget in Sherwood Park, and then was going to stick around and locally play for Spruce Grove, and then just ended up heading to the Western League, and then fortunately enough, here at the U of A.
All right. Did you play with Tyler Benson with the Vancouver Giants?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And did you ever play? So if you're roughly the same age, did you ever play against him in minor hockey or with him?
No, I always missed him by a year.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He's on the Oilers roster now, and then you wound up with the Medicine Hat Tigers. The decision for you to come to the U of A, did you look at other schools, or did you want to kind of come and be closer to home?
Yeah, no, I think U of A was always the only option, just growing up around here and knowing the rich tradition, and then getting to see games when I was younger as well. So it was a pretty easy choice.
Who took you to the games?
My old man did, yeah.
and he's coming to watch you, I hope.
Yeah, every game he sits in the same spot, so.
All right. Now, is he, what's he like post game? Is he encouraging? Does he keep it quiet? Does he point out things you got to do better?
he's pretty even keel. He's always there to point out the positives, but he's not afraid to let me know what I need to do better as well. So, which I respect. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Right on. What are you studying at school, if you don't mind me asking?
Kinesiology. Yeah.
And what are your aspirations once hockey is done, whenever that is?
Yeah, hopefully to play pro coming out of school. And then if not, it's obviously nice to have a degree to fall back on. But not my plan is to go play.
Right on. All right. Well, hey, I appreciate you checking in tonight. This is going to be an interesting one against UBC. I got to admit, I didn't realize they were 6-0 until I checked the standings earlier today. So that's going to be one of their best starts ever. And obviously, you guys are always one of the top teams in the country. Clayton, we wish you all the best. I'm sure I'll be talking to some of you and your teammates again throughout the course of the year, man. Go get them this weekend.
For sure. Will do. Thanks for having me on.
That is Clayton Kirichenko checking in, the captain of the Golden Bears hockey team. Clayton, a defenseman from Sherwood Park, has 5 points in 6 games for the Bears. Good to be talking about Canada West sports again, which we didn't get to do last season. The Golden Bears football team, unfortunately, eliminated on the weekend in the Canada West semifinal at Manitoba. We talk about starting games well. That game did not start well for the Bears. They trailed 30-0 by the time the second quarter was 2 minutes old and went on to lose to the Bisons. So they finished in third place, the Bears did in the regular season, in the 16 Canada West football standings. Okay, so here's what we got. We got the Oilers game tomorrow. We're going to be on at 5:30 with the Faceoff Show, game at 7. Bob Stauffer has Oilers Now from noon tomorrow. It will be the Oilers and the Jets. Now, Edmonton didn't practice today. It was a day off. I get the sense that we're going to see Stuart Skinner in net tomorrow, just given how much Koskinen has played and maybe some signs of fatigue coming into his game. And Skinner came on in the third period, faced 8 shots, stopped them all, made a couple of very difficult saves, I thought. And the Oilers seem fairly positive about what they see from Skinner so far. We still don't really know what's happening with Mike Smith. I mean, Ken Holland was on with Bob yesterday and said it's not concerning what's going on with Smith, but they're still looking for some more information, and maybe given how well Koskinen was playing, it gave them a little bit of leeway to check that out. But of course, the goaltending going to be an ongoing discussion with the Oilers, as will the depth, and as will some of the defense. They got the high-end guys. They're still trying to round it out. They might still be 3 or 4 players away. We'll see if those players are going to be acquired from other teams, if maybe they're there internally, and how quickly they might be here, if at all, as we move along. It's been fun so far, though. I think 11-4 is pretty good, and I hope it's a good one tomorrow against the Jets. Like I said, I think the Oilers got to answer the bell physically a little more, and man, oh man, I'd like them to get that first goal. 6 in a row they have allowed the first goal. Team record is 11. 11 in a row they were scored on first. That was in February and March of 2007. Thanks to Clayton Kirichenko, Morley Scott, Brendan Escott, and Craig McTavish for coming on the show tonight. Dave Campbell's the producer of Inside Sports, your studio producer this evening. He's just waiting for that alien show to start, is the one and only Kellen Kennedy. My name's Reed. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.